morning, everyone. Certainly good to be here, see everyone that is out. We've got visitors with us again. We're glad you came to be with us, and please come back again and again. Bill, it's good to see you with us this morning. Good to have you here. We've got a good crowd. It's just a good day to worship God. And, you know, as a family of God, it's always good to come together and to share the joyful moments and the sad moments. And Jim and Joyce, with the loss of a family member, all of us are grieving with you. And it's a strength that we can gain from each other being part of the Lord's family. So if you have the bulletin, it says on its son, remember. And it's from Luke 16. Last week when I preached, If I Am Lost, someone said that was a little too serious, so it's not going to be that serious this week, the lesson, but sometimes we need to hear things serious to remind us, but it's going to be along the lines of reminding us. Again, Luke 16, 23, and being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. So I want us to look at this phrase, Son, remember. And there are so many things that we should remember. And as we have been going through the Old Testament, what's one of the things we keep repeating? They forgot this, they forgot God, they forgot what God had done for them. So in this lesson, I want us to go through time from back at the beginning and just look at some things that we need to remember. First thing we ought to remember is that the first man was Adam. Now that sounds so basic and so simple, but there are a lot of educated people today that do not remember that. They are educated beyond what is written. In Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Period. Period. Adam was the first man. God created him. The first man was Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam, Christ, was made a quickening spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:45. This is the beginning of the human family. God made this first man. And this is the only satisfactory explanation of the origin of the species. It was not a big bang. It was not evolution. And we need to remember that. As we start with that, we should also remember that God said that it was not good for man to be alone. So God made a helpmeet. In Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And as we are remembering that, it might be well to remember that God did not make him two or three wives, but he made him one wife. And that was the order. And that is still God's order today. And we should not forget that. More than one wife at a time is too many wives. Any other combination of men and men, women and women is wrong. And man has forgotten that. We need to go back to the beginning and remember what God created and how he created it, and that it is not good that man should be alone. We should remember that this man and woman were placed in a perfect environment. They had everything to be happy, and they were permitted to eat of anything in that garden except of the fruit of one of the trees. And we should remember that God said if they ate of this tree, that they would die. What do we learn from that? There are consequences of disobeying God. Eternal consequences. And we need to remember that. Too many people take God's word too lightly. Well, as time goes on, we need to remember that hundreds and hundreds of generations have gone down to their grave because of sin. It's because of sin. Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, thus death spread to all men because all sinned. So why do we die? Because of sin. We need to remember that. It's not because God is trying to be cruel. He's trying to punish us. We all die because of sin. And we have all sinned. Therefore, we are all going to die unless Christ returns first. So back to the sin in the garden. We need to remember that from that beginning sin all the way up to today, all people fall either through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, or the pride of life. Look at Genesis 3:6. Genesis 3:6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. The devil knew how to get to this woman, and he knew that through her, he could get to her husband. He uses trickery. He used it back then. He used deception, and he hasn't stopped using deception since the beginning of time. And we need to remember that. He's trying to drag us down. He's trying to send us to hell. And how does he do it today? Through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. If we turn over to 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, we are going to see that nothing has changed. 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Is sin pleasurable? It is. And the Bible tells us that it is. But it's pleasure for just a short time, a temporary pleasure. We do not want to be tricked by Satan through these lusts, through these strong desires of the flesh and the eyes and the pride of life, because those are all passing away. The world is passing away, and the lust of it. But who's going to abide forever? Who does it say in verse 17? But he who does the will of God abides forever. We need to remember that. If we do the will of God, we are going to abide forever. Is it any wonder that a loving and merciful father continually warns his children of danger? Over and over and over in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, he warns us, he gives us warnings. He gives warnings to the youth. He gives warnings to the middle-aged. He gives warnings to the elderly. He tells us, do not sin. Do not transgress my law. And we need to remember that. But with that also, we need to remember that as soon as man fell, God started preparing a plan for redemption. If we go back to Genesis 3, Genesis 3 and in verse 15, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Here we have the first prophecy of the crucifixion of Christ. His resurrection, where Hades could not hold him, he was victorious over death and Satan. So we have the first prophecy of this plan of redemption. We know, as we've been studying in the book of Ephesians on Wednesday night, though, that God had this plan in his mind even before the foundation of the world. So after 4,000 years of time rolled by on this earth, what did God do? He sent his Son into the sin-cursed world. God sent his Son to bruise the head of Satan. What he prophesied back here in Genesis chapter 3, he waited 4,000 years before that came and took place. We need to remember that. Christ was conceived miraculously. He was brought forth of a virgin. And this was all in God's plan. And it shows that God is in control of everything. And no sooner than God's Son came into the world, but what did Satan try to do? He started trying to get rid of him. He started trying to get rid of him. And he's still trying today. And he succeeds, Satan succeeds in getting Christ out of the lives of so many people today. And we need to remember that he's after us to do that. But when God sent his Son to come to the earth, King Herod wanted to kill all the babies. He wanted to get rid of him. And you knew Satan was definitely wanting to get rid of Christ. So Christ was taken to Egypt. And then later, when it was safe, he came out of Egypt. All of these things have been prophesied, prophecy after prophecy after prophecy of the coming of Christ. And we need to remember that. That's something else that we need to remember, that everything about Christ that took place was prophesied. And again, it shows the inspiration of the Bible. We need to remember that he was born in Bethlehem according to prophecy. But when he was brought out of Egypt, where did he live? He didn't live in Bethlehem. He lived in Nazareth. And the prophet said what? The prophet said that he would be called a Nazarene. We need to remember that Jesus was taught to work. Jesus was taught to work. Manual labor. He was brought up at a carpenter's bench. So God's Son dignified honest work, honest toil. And we ought to do the same. We should not be ashamed to work. You know, you hear so many people, "Well, I don't want that job. It's not good enough." And I can understand some people saying that, but then could you say that to Jesus, the Son of God? And he has, what does he do? He takes on, and I'm not trying to say that being a carpenter is not an honorable trade. It is, but you go from being the Son of God exalted in heaven down to this earth and hammering nails into wood, that ought to teach us a lesson. We should not be ashamed to work. Who did Jesus call to be his marching men, his messengers, his footmen that went out and got the job done? Honest, hardworking, humble men he called to be his apostles. Fishermen, other trades too, but he dignified work. There's a saying, there are no small jobs, only small people. Because whatever job we have, we can be the best at that job. And when we do that, what does that do? That brings honor and glory to our Father. So the Son of Man was not beneath manual labor. And we should not forget that. We should remember that. Something else that we should remember is the time that Jesus went to Jerusalem when he was a boy, to the big city. And where was he found? He was found in the temple. He was sitting in the midst of educated men, both hearing and asking them questions. And he thought his parents should know that this is where to look for him. Why? Because he said he had to be about his father's business, even at this early period in his life. And so many children and grown-ups too get lost when they go to the big city. They go to the big city. Sometimes they're going there to get those big jobs in the big city. And there's nothing wrong with that, but we need to remember to put God first, because it's sad. Some people will go to the big city, and going to the big city, they lose their soul. They forget Jesus, and that is sad. And then when Jesus went from Jerusalem back to Nazareth, we looked at that passage a couple weeks ago in Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, and what does it say? He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Jesus was in subjection to his parents. The Son of God, but he was in subjection to his parents. We need to remember that. We need to remember the worthy example that Jesus left us, that we should follow in his steps. And what was the example that he left us when he was about 30 years old? He traveled some 60 or 70 miles to do something that most denominational preachers of our day would treat lightly and say, you don't need to do that. That's not necessary. What did he do? He traveled a great distance and he was immersed. He was immersed. He was baptized by John. And what did he say? Why did he say he was doing that? To fulfill all righteousness. There are many people today that need to remember that example. Many people today have not been immersed as Christ was. We need to do that. Well, after he was baptized, what happened? We need to remember after he was baptized that he went into the wilderness and he met the devil. He was in combat with the devil. And he was victorious. And you remember how he did it? We need to remember that. It is so important. He used the Word of God. And that is the only way that we are going to be able to beat the devil, is to use the Word of God. You can't take him on with a sword. You don't want to engage, get involved with him. You want to run. You've got to deal with it. You've got to pray. You've got to use the Word of God. How did Jesus reply? It is written. It is written. It is written. How was Jesus tested? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the boastful pride of life. That's the same way all of us are tempted. How did he overcome that? It is written. So one of the things with that, if we want to overcome Satan, we need to remember the Word of God. We need to know it. We need to remember to study it and hide it in our heart so that when Satan comes after us, that we can defeat him. It's very important. And we need to understand why God tells us things in the Bible. You know, if he tells us to do something, we should do it. But it's also important to understand the mechanics of it, the reasoning. If an outsider asks us, so why do you have to be baptized? We could say, well, God said do it. But we also need to explain to him that the only way we can have forgiveness of sins is by coming in contact with the blood. Why is that? Because God said the life is in the blood. And that was the price that was paid to redeem us, to purchase us, to buy the church. And the only way we can come in contact with that blood is through baptism, when we are baptized. So we need, that's just an example of one question, but we need to understand the scriptures so that we can share them with others. And just like Jesus, we need to remember that after he was baptized, he was tempted. And what about us? After we have given our lives to Christ, is Satan going to leave us alone? No. Satan is going to come after us full force because we left his army to join the Lord's army, and he wants to trick us. He wants to pull us to go back into his army. After Jesus was baptized, we should remember that he went about doing good. Let's turn to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Or let's look at 37. That the word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee and after the baptism which John preached, and how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with his Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. What do we need to remember that Jesus did after he was baptized? He went about doing good. He went about doing good. What do we need to remember for us after we have been baptized? We need to remember to go about doing good. Now, are we going to be able to do good to the same extent that Jesus did? No, he was busy healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, casting out devils, raising the dead. But he was preaching the gospel and telling people about the kingdom of heaven. And we can do the same also. We can do the same. He taught his disciples to pray for the coming of the kingdom. We are so blessed that we are in the kingdom, in the church today. And we need to be sharing that message and go about doing good just as Jesus did. Something else we need to remember about Christ is that 50 days after his death, the kingdom did come and it came with power. Before that, before the day of Pentecost, the disciples were always looking forward to the coming of the kingdom. After Pentecost, after the death, burial, and resurrection and ascension of Christ, we hear them talking about being in the kingdom. Colossians 1:13, Revelation 1:9. We are in the kingdom. We need to remember that. The world needs to remember that. So many people are looking for Christ to come back and establish a kingdom on the earth. We need to remember before the cross, they were looking for the kingdom. After the cross, it's spoken of as the kingdom being in existence. We also need to remember with the kingdom, if we are faithful, what are we told that Christ is going to do? He's going to deliver the kingdom up to heaven if we are faithful. Well, we also need to remember that Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. And before he went back to heaven, he gave a law of salvation. The gospel of the kingdom was to be preached to every creature under heaven. And the one who believes the gospel, repents of their sins, confesses Christ, and is baptized shall be saved. Is the work of Jesus finished? No. So who's going to carry it on? We are. He turned that work over to us to go into all the world, to teach, to baptize, to teach again. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that that is the work that we are to do either until we die or until Christ comes back again. We also need to remember and do not forget that this is the law that God gave us to do. It's a law, it's a commandment. You know, I hear people talk about, ask, what's your favorite verse? What's your favorite verse? This is somebody's favorite verse. Well, what are some of the favorite verses of Jesus? Can you think of some that come to mind? I know one of them would be the Great Commission. The Great Commission, because it's recorded in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Mark 16, 15 and 16, Luke 24, 46 through 47. It's so important. Jesus wants all of us to go to every creature in every nation and teach them, to teach them to submit to Christ, to repent, to confess Christ as Lord and Savior, to be baptized, to come in contact with His blood. We need to remember that this is the law that Christ gave us. With that, we need to remember that this law is still in force and will be till time shall be no more. And we need to remember that obedience to the gospel, what does it make us? It makes us a Christian. I don't want to say a Christian only, but it makes us a Christian period. Nothing more and nothing less. But a lot of people aren't satisfied with that. They are not satisfied to be a Christian only. They want to be a hyphenated Christian. We need to remember to be the kind of Christian that Christ told us to be. We need to keep right then by remembering Jesus and then living that Christian life and then going home to be with Him in heaven one day. And finally, one of the last things I want us to consider that we need to remember, we need to remember to live right and worship right. Jesus will be waiting at the end of our road, and He's either going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," or He's going to say, "Depart from me, ye that work lawlessness, iniquity, unrighteousness." We're going to hear one of those two things from Him, and that should put the fear in us to remember to live right and worship Him right every day. These are just a few of the things that we should remember. Just as Abraham said, "Remember, son," there are so many things that we should remember. It's not a complete list, but some of the things that we should never forget. Do you remember these things? You know, I think sometimes we just go through the day and we don't stop and remember them. We forget. God has done so much for us. He's given us His Son. He's given us everything that we need, everything to protect us from sin, how to defeat Satan. We need to remember these things, and that should be reflected in our life. Do you remember what Christ has done for you and how He called you? How He called you with that great invitation to come unto Him and give your life to Him. If you remember that and you haven't done that, you ought to act on it this morning. If you remember how He told you to live, but you've wandered away from that, you need to remember to turn from your sins, repent of them, come and ask for the prayers of the congregation that your life might be made right with God. If we can assist anyone in being obedient to the gospel invitation this morning, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.
When with the Savior we enter the glory, let all it be one.